Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast that somehow took a penalty last night against Colorado. I think it was 2 minutes for boarding. I don't know, but we're going to serve our time, and we're going to do a little stargazing. With me, as always, Mark. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing just great. I've been watching World Cup soccer. That's pretty much been my life for the last couple days. And it's amazing that there's not that much overlap between my hockey people and my soccer people. And so I can kind of delay time watch and nobody ruins it for me.
That's amazing. My peeps are all... The thing we did is we now have a specific Slack channel for the live discussion, so that when we're hiding from spoilers, we don't get mired in that, because I had to watch the USA game on delay.
Yeah.
So we just had to put some real life barriers between live sharing.
Yeah. No, you have to do it. And you know, the worst thing that ever happened to me was wasting 7 hours listening to somebody who was incredibly ignorant and boring, and then right at the end of it, they announced the score of a game that I had taped. So
listen, that was not 7 hours. We were talking for like 45 minutes tops.
I think it was Tiffin, wasn't it?
sounds like a Tiffin thing to do. Shout out to Big Bobby T, wherever he happens to be right now.
Well, let's talk hockey, because that's the important sport going on in this world right now.
It's the most important, and of that is the Dallas Stars. And I'm going to open with a question, Mark. Mm-hmm. And this question is going to come as a surprise to you, having participated in our pregame chat. But thinking back to last night's game against Colorado, you have one of two ways to describe it, right? Was it a good game for the Dallas Stars, or was it a bad game for the Dallas Stars?
Well, I'm going to ask the question back to you. Was the Calgary series in the playoffs last year a good series or a bad series for the Stars?
I'm going to give you the same answer that applies to both. It depends on whether or not I'm Jake Oettinger.
Yep.
I guess I take that back. Last night depends on if I'm Jason Robertson as well.
Well, we made it really interesting at the end, and we still lost both. So, yeah, it kind of holds up.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's you know, on the one hand, the point last night keeps Dallas technically at the top of the Western Conference. They've got 25 points. The margin shrinks a little bit. Colorado now has 23, as do the Winnipeg Jets. Both the Jets and Colorado have two games in hand. So if we were playing, you know, if we were playing the baseball thing, right, Dallas would be, I don't want to get into half games, but technically correct. Dallas is ahead, but are they really? Because, you know, so on the one hand, the on the scoreboard results of the Dallas Stars season remain strong, right? They went toe-to-toe with last year's winner, a presumed favorite, and they came away with at least a point out of the game, and that ain't bad. Unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on under the covers here. And, you know, I'll leave it to you, Mark. Where do you want to start dissecting this thing, or carving this turkey? Let's be festive.
Well, let's do that. And we'll start with the most basic of fancy stats, which means it's slightly better than plus minus. And we'll just go straight to PDO. And the Stars are leading the league in PDO right now.
Yay!
We're number one.
That's good, right?
It is good. The Stars have a shooting percentage that's 11.35 at 5-on-5, which is literally 1.5% more than the second place team, which is Boston. And that's a team that is really, really good. So the Stars are putting the puck in the net. God help us, we could have used some of that in the last 5 years. And on the other side, we have Jake Ottinger, who, you know, the team save percentage is sixth in the league right now. And that's Jake Ottinger almost completely his responsibility. You take a look at Scott Wedgwood's work, and, you know, he's done fairly well for the Stars, but his save percentage is not league leading, shall we say. So the Stars are getting it on both ends. They're putting it in the net on the offensive end, and they're keeping it out of the net on the defensive end. And the only place that they're really hurting themselves is by putting themselves in the sin bin.
And boy, they are. So golly, Mark, that sounds wonderful. So we can go ahead and end the podcast, right? There's nothing more to talk about. PDO good, Dallas good, standings good. See you later, right?
Right, and then you start taking a look at all these expected goals against and goals for models, and all of these guys with big brains have Dallas sitting kind of middle of the pack. They should be scoring about as much as they're giving up, and the question then becomes: are the models wrong, or is this just not sustainable?
And to give just real quick to give a little context, right? So if we look at if we look at expected goals for, right, we just talked about how Dallas is amongst the league leaders and the actual performance. This, and I'm looking at MoneyPuck just at this exact moment, they've got them sitting at 14th, right? So of all the teams, Dallas, if you just look at what should be happening, Dallas is scoring at a 14th in the league clip. Whereas if we look at what they're actually doing, they're in third. Right. So pretty big difference there. And when you talk about PDO, and I know a lot of the fans of this podcast will know this, but for those that don't necessarily, the reason that we're kind of poking, the reason that we're cracking wise is PDO is one of those things that often it's often a red light on the dashboard, and teams do not tend to maintain high or really low PDO for any stretch of time. It's one of those stats that tends to normalize. So the reason that we're fixating on this and the reason that Mark's about to dive into some more of the numbers is this is one of those red lights on the dashboard. And, you know, right now things are going pretty good. But when you're over on your PDO, that usually means that the regression monster's lurking and that at some point that's going to correct itself. And thinking about how statistical corrections work, if you're over now and you need to get back to the average, that means you're going to be under later. And that's not good.
Yep. And so now I come to my eyeball test and I take a look at what's going on. And do I really see that Dallas is getting lucky goals? Jason Robertson certainly, he tied one up, his spin around was goal four.
That's great. He tied up off of that. The cross check was goal number one.
Right, exactly. And then he gets one that's from a pretty ridiculous angle that he gets a little vision of the corner and he hits it. And so, a lot of this maybe just Jason Robertson can pick out where he wants to put the puck and it goes in. Maybe this is a Jason Robertson effect and he just has a high shooting percentage because he's good.
Well, and that was one of the things I actually looked at. So I did a guest drop on the Mile High Lab podcast heading into this game. And one of the questions they asked was, is Jason Robertson for real? Because we've kind of been grappling with this as Stars fans. And to your point, right, one of the most common things you look at is shooting percentage. Guys just don't tend to deviate from their career percentages very much, right? If you want an example, think about William Karlsson's first season in Las Vegas compared to everything he's ever done for the rest of his career, right? Guys just don't over-index. And to your point, right, Jason Robertson's currently shooting 18.2%. That's generated 14 goals in 19 games. Fantastic performance, fantastic production. Well, guess what? He was 18.6 last season. And he was 13.4 the season before that, which is lower, but still. So it's one of those, Jason Robertson might just be doing normal Jason Robertson stuff. And there's a whole different conversation about how wonderful and amazing he is. So on his part, at least, there's some cause for optimism because he's, you always want to look for outliers. And right now, Jason Robertson is just straight up money.
And some of this is, you can't really look back at the Stars from the last couple of years and say that these numbers are realistic that you're going to pull forward. because we're playing a brand new system, and this is relying a lot more on the skill that the players are bringing. They're getting better shots. And when you get better shots, more of them go in.
Yeah, and that said, right, as a team, Dallas's shooting percentage is 12.7, which is good, certainly very good, but it's certainly, and it's a great shooting percentage, leads the league right now. So it's Boston, I think, is second with 12.2, Vancouver is third with 11.5. So it's you know, is it something to worry about? Maybe.
Maybe, but I just go back and take a look and say, well, are the Stars getting really lucky? And no, they're kind of making shots that I think they should probably make. And they can get goalied periodically, but they keep on coming.
Yeah, there is definitely more. This is where, you know, statistical analysis meets the eye test, and thinking about, we'll just use last night's game as a microcosm, right? Like, the first goal was a series of kind of quick, you know, quick passes, quick plays. Jason Robertson was open, and he was open in a dangerous area. And yes, there was a lot of like garnish around the shot itself, you know, the cross check, getting, you know, bowled into the goalie, all of that. But that would be categorized as a high danger chance, right? It was a good player with a good shot from a good scoring area. So yes, you know, it went to review, and yes, he was knocked into the goalie, and there's some stuff around there, but I would argue pretty vehemently against characterizing that first goal as lucky, right?
And you go down the list, you know, what has Joe Pavelski done that's not Joe Pavelski-ish? Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, Tyler Seguin's scoring a little better. Well, yeah, there's a reason for that. Jamie Benn is, you know, is his sustainable? I don't know. He's getting more of these shots that he used to get back in the Lindy Ruff system. So when Ben gets those kind of shots, he tends to perform better. You know, he's painting corners, and he's lifting the puck off the ice and not just trying to slide it five hole every single time. So yeah, that sounds at least potentially sustainable, or at least maybe not. It's not going to regress as much as the statistics might tell you it should.
I mean, the two of the guys we just talked through, right? So Tyler Seguin is bang on. I think he's a career 11% shooter, and he's shooting 11.1% right now. So, you know, he's bang on. We talked about Robertson earlier. Hintz is a little bit over. He's shooting 22% versus 17 traditionally, but I think with him, there's a system at play. He's just in a better offensive gear for where he's supposed to be. The two guys that really worry me are Pavelski is shooting 21% as a career 12% shooter, right? So there's some concern there. And then ditto, Jamie Benn is shooting at 19%, almost 20% as a career 13% shooter. So if we're just talking about guys that could regress versus guys that might not, the two candidates you would be worried about would be Pavelski and Benn. Those are the ones that are kind of seriously performing historical norms. But, you know, Seguin, Hintz, and Robertson are all very well within the realm of being explained by, like, they're just doing what they do, right? They're just thriving. Maybe it's the system, you know, that's worth another couple percentage points. So they're not necessarily sources of major concern.
Yeah, and I would summarize maybe saying, yeah, it's something to watch out for, because there is a potential for regression there, but it may not be as bad, or you know, the expected goal model might just be undercrediting what Dallas is doing this year.
It might be.
I think that's possible.
I think as well, right? The thing that stands out to me where I think this, what I think that the third period against Colorado is, and even the game in general, but in particular, the third period kind of represents what this thing is going to look like if those percentages start to balance out, right? Which is, at one point, Dallas was getting outshot 9-2. They were down a goal, couldn't generate anything. All of the secondary scoring we've been patting ourselves on the back for over the last, you know, month and a half was suddenly absent. They were, you know, cruising towards an L, and then Jason Robertson scores a goal, right? So it seems like the statistical downside of this team is kind of getting back into the bad old days of just kind of hoping that the top line does something top liney and scores a goal. And it that is something to be concerned about, right? It's a weakness of this team. They definitely were on the struggle bus for stretches of last game. At the same time, you still get to count goals scored by, you know, Pavelski and Sons, right? That line still exists. It still counts. You can still look at the Dallas Stars and say, yes, for flaws elsewhere, they have a superlative front line that is sometimes just going to win a game. And there may not be anything to do about it.
Yeah, and I will point out, and this is a particular concern for me. I think we fell for a little fool's gold last game. And we saw that Marchment, Sagan, Ben line lighted up the game before, and we said, oh, wow, we found something new. And kind of bought into the fact that that might be a reasonable way to deploy a second line. And I think what it did was it decimated the third line. It in essence, created a rookie line, and then DeBoer refused to play him. And it turns out that Marchment, Ben, and Sagan kind of caught lightning in a bottle for one game, and maybe it's not sustainable. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see us go back to what has been on the ice for pretty much every single game other than one or two this entire season for this game coming up in Chicago.
Yeah, I think you're right. And part of what has helped this team to this point is the fact that they can roll four lines. And, you know, kind of just, we talked about Jamie Benn. One of the things that I think has helped him is he's averaging, you know, I think it's like 16 minutes or something like that. Basically, every individual player is expected to do less because there's balance throughout the lineup versus in previous seasons where the model was one line had to carry the mail offensively, one line had to carry the mail defensively, and two lines were just kind of in the muck, right? So, and you're right, they got away from that. And this just may not be a team that this just may be a team that has one line and then it's whichever of the other three happens to catch fire on a given night. And that's the model.
Yeah. But, and I would just hope that you kind of take a look at the long-term picture and you don't fix what isn't already broken. You know, seeing what Marchment, Ben, and Sagan did was really, really nice. And in thinking about it longer, you know, and breaking it down as far as what was actually going on the ice for that, it wasn't something that was going to work with those skill sets involved.
Yeah. And you know, I think the other point is the points they're banking now, like, even if there is some regression later, the points they're banking now matter and they count. And, you know, this is a buffer, and thank goodness for the first time in what feels like forever, Dallas has built themselves a little bit of a cushion, right? And they're going to need it, right? Because it's looking down the standings, right? You obviously the woeful Blackhawks and the Coyotes are, you know, not doing so hot, but the Wild are still a little, they're up to 5-4-1 in their last 10. Nashville 6-3-1. St. Louis is on a bender 7-3-0. Winnipeg 7-2-1. Colorado 7-3-0. So like, the rest of the division is starting to climb their way back into this thing. And, you know, getting a point last night, riding, you know, enjoying the good times while they last, like that's a big deal. That counts.
Yep. And let's not short trip the other end of this, this PDO discussion. You know, what do you think about regression potential with Jake Oettinger?
Oh man, I the running joke, right? We were all worried that he wasn't going to be able to recreate the Calgary series, and he hasn't. ... He's been better. Like he, you know, this is one. He's a slam dunk, right? Because the numbers are good, and also just watching the kid, he's an NHL goaltender, and he's a very good one. And what stands out to me is he has become, you know, the Oettinger thing that I remember from previous seasons was he'd be playing pretty well, and then he'd overplay a shot, right? He'd get a little too aggressive. He'd dive, and all of a sudden there's a hole on the far side, or, you know, five hole, or he'd open something up by over pursuing the puck. And I just haven't seen a significant amount of that this season. He's still got the athleticism and kind of the positional sense. And he's melded that with, you know, restrained is the wrong word because he'll throw the pads out and he'll come up with fantastic saves when he needs to, but he's playing within the position in a way that just like, he's just honestly just a maturing athlete. He just adds something else to his toolbox every time we move along. And we just may have another great goaltender in the pipes in Dallas. And isn't that something?
Yeah. No, I fully agree. And, you know, I don't know that you can ask him to stand on his head for the whole season, because there will be slumps in there. But I would say that, you know, certainly we have a legitimate top 10 goaltender, and there's very easily arguments that he's top five and should be in the Vezina conversation at this early point in the season.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, thinking about no team. This is the difference in, like, in previous seasons, right? It either had to be the goalie or they'd lose, or it had to be the Ben line or they'd lose, right? This is a team that is now kind of inching into a period of time where, like, yeah, last night Ottinger held a minute and Jason Robertson, you know, got the thing to overtime. Other nights it's been the first line exploding for, you know, everybody gets a couple goals and, you know, and it's a laugher and the goaltending doesn't matter. And so it's starting to get to a phase where Dallas can beat you in a couple of different ways, which means on any given night when one of those ways isn't working, you know, it used to be if the top line wasn't firing, they were toast. And you could kind of tell that, you just knew. Whereas now it's like, well, if the top line isn't working, then let's let the goalie keep a minute and see what happens. Or if the top line isn't working, let's check on that power play, see how they're doing. And there's just more that this team can do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I fully agree. And yeah, the interesting thing is that he's doing this without that defensive, you know, commitment and concentration that the team put out there last year. You have defenders who are jumping into the rush. And so you are getting a little more high quality chances coming back at him, and he's dealing with it without blink of the eye.
Yeah. And I think this is where, and you know, we'll see, right? Because this is where that historic identity as a defensive team is helping, but it's also where the new outlook. This is a team that's willing to take a couple more risks, and I think they're benefiting from it, right? They're getting higher quality chances. They're allowing their goaltending and their defense to bail them out when they have to. And it's just really, we are seeing a very good blend right now of offense and defense and goaltending. And that I think is a part of why performance has been where it's been.
Yep. No, fully agree. Maybe one more thing here before we head off the turkey. We did see Mede Blumel go back to Texas, and we're expecting a call up of Freddie Karlstrom, and yeah, and potentially a return of Gurianov. So I think we'll see some interesting line combinations that might come out of these changes, starting probably with the Chicago game.
Yeah, and I like right now the way they're leveraging the minor league system, right? And making sure those guys are down, and if somebody's playing well, they get to come up and hang out. And Blumel came up and he contributed a little bit and kind of seemed to fade a little bit. So yeah, send him down for a little bit more seasoning and let's give Karlstrom a try. And when Gurianov gets back, we'll see if he can get back to where he was before he got hurt. And you know, I think that's a good thing for this team to kind of experiment with guys in and out of those roles in the lineup, because it's not a squad that from, you know, top to bottom of the forward core, you know, from 1 to 12 has set spots. So we might as well, they might as well leverage all the talent available.
Right. Exactly. And I know that Blumel is going back to Texas with kind of marching orders. And you can kind of tell this be how Thomas Harley's being used down in Texas, where he's been asked to concentrate on his defense. He's been playing on the penalty kill with actually very little time on the power play. And so, you know, Blumel's going to go down there. And yeah, we already know he can score, but he has some structural things that he needs to learn how to play within the system, where he isn't giving up bad chances because he's out of position on defense. And so that's the kind of thing, you know, you get a little look at what you're doing at the NHL level, and then you get a chance to go work at it at a little less leverage situation. And now we have Karlstrom come up. We kind of know what Karlstrom's been doing down in Texas. He's been playing on a line with Oscar Back and Curtis McKenzie. And so we know he's going to have defense that's going to be there, but he's also kind of a big body and can bring a little defensive intensity to the team. And so he'll slot into a position to see if he can find a match. And if he doesn't, then he's going to get some assignments to go back down to Texas to work on, and somebody else is going to come up.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how you need to be using a farm system. And it's really nice. This is where the advantage of having a team that's down in Cedar Park works to your advantage, because outside of traffic, it's not that long a trip to get from the minor league team to the NHL.
Absolutely. And the most recent example I can think of this is that's what they did with Ty Dellandrea last year, right? He came up for his, you know, he was with the team a little bit for the bubble run, had a couple of cups of coffee, and then the team made a deliberate decision to put him in Cedar Park last season with, to your point, some very specific things to work on, right? He was in top line situations, playing both sides of the puck, expected to score, expected to play defense, you know, put on some mass, play the body, all. And you know, they really sent him down with some specific developmental advice. And, you know, training camp breaks this year, and guess what happens? Ty Dellandrea looks like he's been with the team for 15 years, right? And all of a sudden, you know, when people talk, it's that funny thing, right? Luck isn't so much luck as it's the intersection of opportunity and you know, effort, right? Things aren't clicking with Ty Dellandrea right now in the sense of something has just spontaneously happened. Things are clicking in the sense of there was a talented player that was evaluated, given guidance, worked his butt off, and all of a sudden is back in a position to leverage what he was told to do. And guess what, man? He's, you know, we're starting to see this coaching staff, right? The management, you know, from nil on down, there's a vision. And you get talented guys like Dellandrea, give them instructions. And if they do their part, you wind up with this revelation, when really what you wind up with is just a good hockey player being a good hockey player.
Right. And I mean, this just worked out so perfectly with Dellandrea, because what you saw was Neil Graham down in Texas pretty much figure out halfway through the season that Rick Bonus hockey wasn't going to work for the Texas Stars.
Yep.
And he kind of beat Pete DeBoer to Pete DeBoer's system with Texas. So Dellandrea hit the ground running, because that's the way he'd been playing for half a season. And so having that coordination now between the systems, between the coaches, and this development highway that we can use both ways, I think maybe we can even get this conversation away from, you know, oh, we overseason kids down in the minors way too much, to being, let's use the minors as a training ground, give people chances to succeed at the NHL level. But if they aren't quite there, it's not that big a deal to go back down to Texas with things to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bumble scratch league, right? There's a lot of good stuff. I mean, way back when, right, Rupe Hintz was a little bit of a domino before, or a little bit of a pinball, sorry, my board game references, but he made a couple of trips back and forth before he finally caught on. And that's okay. Not everybody is going to be Miro Heiskanen and walk onto the ice day one as a perfectly formed impact NHL player. And that's okay.
Right. It's not a punishment. It's a process. Yeah. And you go through the process and you get better, and it's going to make you a better NHL player.
As long as as long as the organization knows what they're doing, yes, you can get back into, you know, thinking about the Jack Campbell situation. And, you know, there are instances where it's just aimless and guys aren't getting help. You know, there are worlds in which it's not good, but, you know, knocking on wood, right now with the Dallas Stars organization, it is very good. They have a plan. They've got talent on both sides, you know, behind and in front of the bench, across the organization. So right now, we as fans can enjoy a coherent, well-managed organization, all pulling in the same direction, producing talent, producing players. And we'll just, you know, ride, same thing with the PDO, right? We'll just ride the good times.
Yep. And that is something to be thankful for, isn't it?
It is very, very much so.
Well, I'm about ready to go do some turkey preparation here. So I would suggest you do the same.
I will. We've got one more big game against Chicago before we get to Thanksgiving, and then the rematch against Colorado. So we'll hopefully see what the team, you know, enjoy a showdown against the lesser lights of the conference, and then another showdown at the top. But Mark, happy Thanksgiving to you, KT as well as everyone out in listener land. Enjoy the cast, enjoy the team. Please remember to download, to like, all of the things, and we'll talk soon.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.